Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. WestchesterTalkRadio.com. Produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities right through the spring of 2021. Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. Also by Hightower Westchester. At Hightower, they manage your wealth to a fiduciary standard. And White Plains Hospital. At White Plains, we say thank you to all of our heroes there for all they have done throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Here, it is the beginning of the month of April. No fooling, it's April 2nd. And we are with John Bailey. John Bailey, the publisher and editor of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter. White Plains Citizen Net. Reporter.com. John Bailey, welcome back. Here we are, early April, and the vaccination rollout, we talk about it again. Has it improved since the last time we spoke a few weeks back?
Definitely has. And right now, by my estimations, that we should, in Westchester County, be about 56% vaccinated by the end of April.
Well, now that's a pretty good, impressive statistic. What's the reason for that? How things got back to where they should be, where we thought they would be from day one?
Well, they added the Yonkers facility, and they've had pop-up facilities where communities have been somewhat out of control, and that is helping, and also a lot more vaccines. And remember, it's about 3 weeks between shots on the Pfizer and 4 weeks on the
Moderna.
Moderna, right.
Which is where I am. I've got about 3 weeks to go before shot two.
Right. Well, any reactions from the Moderna?
No. Just a little from people I know, too, that have gotten a little fatigue later on that day. Not even fatigue, I'd call it. Little sleepiness, drowsiness. Next day, too, I know people who have experienced that happen to me, made me just want to kick back in this chair here and do nothing, really. And then all of a sudden, I snapped out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had no problems with the Pfizer at all. Just a little pain in the arm, but that only lasted for half a day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same thing with me with the Moderna shot. So things seem to be heading in the right direction with the vaccine. How about COVID cases again now, though, in the lower Hudson Valley? We are getting
not good.
It could be on the uptick again.
Not good.
So if not we're getting good. Vaccinated.
Westchester leads all the counties in the mid-Hudson Valley in infections.
Mm-hmm. In the seven-county region from Sullivan on down. If we are getting vaccinated, why are cases going up again? Could it be the new strains?
Well, it's the people that aren't vaccinated yet. That's what's happening. And they are thinking that they can go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being encouraged to go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the only person saying is still mask up is Mr. Cuomo. And on the other hand, there's be relaxations. The restaurants have relaxed. I was out to dinner last night to celebrate something with my daughter. And the restaurant was observing things very nicely. Everybody was separated at the tables. The waiters were wearing masks and wearing gloves. And that looked okay to me, but maybe not all places are assiduous to obeying the rules.
Mm-hmm. Now, and we see what they're thinking. On one side, they need the money. But on the other side, you got to think, if something happens to me and I contract COVID, it's possible I may not be around anymore to enjoy that money.
It's not a very pleasant experience, even if you recover it. I listened to Maya Gay, the Times editorial writer, who did a Zoom with the White Plains Public Library Foundation, and she had COVID. She had absolutely no symptoms, and then all of a sudden was down with it. And she had a very tough experience, she explained to the audience, and she still has ramifications from it with the throat. She had to drink water frequently during the Zoom because of the pain of speaking in her throat.
And now, we've seen star athletes and the effect that COVID has had on them, too. And these are the top-conditioned people, not only men and women, top-conditioned people in the world. If they are being affected at young ages by COVID the way they have been, imagine what it could do to the rest of us who are not in that kind of tip-top shape.
Well, who is dying the most? Senior citizens. Right. And this is unfortunate, but they are weak and compromised. And that's why they were vaccinated first. That's why I have my shots. And another thing I think that has really been a problem of getting the vaccines, other than supply, of course, was the fact that they didn't get the health force vaccinated fast enough. The hospitals in the region were delayed. Governor Cuomo went on record criticizing Nassau County, Suffolk County, Westchester County for being slow, and they were. 5 weeks it took.
They could have vaccinated. Why so slow when they had forever to prepare?
Well, say again the question.
Why so slow if they had forever, these hospitals, to prepare and get ready for the vaccine rollout to make sure their people get taken care of?
It's not well managed. They're not well managed.
That's a good answer.
Yes, they're not well managed. They really never have been. And this was a real challenge for them. And to my way of thinking, what they should have done was they should have dropped everything, had everybody come in on a 24/7 basis. Remember, they had to start doing this when the holidays over in late December were. But of course, everybody had plans, so they didn't want to disrupt those. That's my secret theory. And so they waited, and that's terrible. Maybe they didn't wait, but maybe only people who were still working were able to the accident. I'm just my theory. How can you have a staff of like 3,300 and not be able to vaccinate them in a week?
Right.
You can do that. I mean,
Right.
You can do that. And I mean, that's what we're doing now. We're doing like 20,000 a day. If you do 20,000 a day, please.
Could it be that early on, hospitals even were not sure about the potential side effects of the vaccine, so maybe this could be why they took it slow for their own protection and for everybody's protection, too. See what happens first. Vaccinate a few, step by step. Let's see how they react.
Yes. Well, that's because they have a lousy public relations staff. Because I would have said that, but they didn't make any excuses. They were so arrogant about when the governor criticized them, they did not have a prepared excuse. You always, if you're going to take care of a policy and say, well, we can only do this much, you have to say why. They never did. Oh, and then there was the vaccine. Vaccines were blamed. You know, not enough. Okay. So what can I say? But now Chuck Schumer, our senator, was in Portchester yesterday afternoon and had a conference explaining all the great things Westchester is going to get with the American Recovery Act. And it is amazing. He predicted we'd all be totally vaccinated in the county by the end of the spring.
Yeah. Which could be possible, actually, since we're at 56% now. We do seem to be moving quickly in the right direction. Could be.
Sorry.
John Bailey is reporter, editor, and publisher of White Plains Citizennet Reporter, whiteplainscitizennetreporter.com. John, over to the state budget. Is the budget done? It's April 2nd.
Yes, and surprise, for the first time in Governor Cuomo's terms, it isn't in on time. And I'm telling you, I've got a friend of mine as the heiress was telling me that he was speaking with one of the assemblymen up there, and the assemblyman said they're still at loggerheads and they're still negotiating up there, and perhaps by Sunday. Now, what is the governor doing? He's being difficult, of course, and he's punishing them because they don't want to get away for the Easter holiday coming up. But he's keeping them there. Mm-hmm. And maybe he will keep them for some time. You never know. That would be funny.
We're going to get into that, I think,
yes,
a little bit. Why
exactly,
he might keep them there.
Obviously, the governor does not agree with the state senate and the state assembly spending like sailors. And though they supposedly have the money based on the billions and billions,
right, what we
billions
are supposed to get from the feds, we
should billions have of Biden bucks heading our way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Biden bucks. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll have to copyright.
By the way, are Westchester legislators doing enough right now to bring home the bacon? Bring home the Biden bucks for this county?
I don't think so.
Why?
All this is basically the legislators doing. The legislators got really tough with the governor, and let's face it. I mean, I don't know what the reaction was between the Westchester legislators and Mr. Schumer and Ms. Gillibrand, our two senators, but that is a great mystery. I mean, they haven't said a heck of a lot. They just haven't said a heck of a lot on things are terrible here in Westchester. I didn't hear a lot of that from the legislators.
You bring up an interesting point. It's hard to tell how a legislator is bringing home the bacon, or at least trying to, if they don't say anything.
They eat the bacon themselves. They give them a huge raise during a year when they were having a very bad sales tax result. And I felt that was irresponsible, because we didn't know we were going to get all this. We didn't know at the time they gave themselves that raise that we were even going to have Mr. Biden as president. It was totally irresponsible.
When we look at the lawmakers, though, looking at this from the standpoint of, and especially lawmakers who've been in Albany for a long time, if they went over a decade without getting a raise and they feel like they've got to get something extra somehow soon for all they've done through the years.
But it's a part-time job.
In quotes.
But it's a part-time job. Wouldn't you like to get paid $100,000 as ancillary income in addition to your law practice, in addition to your business practice? Please, it's a part-time job. You go to Albany, they pay your hotel. You go to the legislature, you just sit there in detention and do whatever the county executive wants and hold meetings and great discussions on Zoom. And then you essentially do what the county executive wants anyway. Even if you're the majority party and the budget is out of whack, you vote for the budget anyway, which is what happened during the Astorino years.
Recreational marijuana, controversial issues like this. The controversy continues. We will be able to use marijuana recreationally up to a point, up to an extent in New York State now. Is this something that the governor finally made happen based upon his legal predicament?
Well, I think he made it happen because he's been working for it for about 2 to 3 years. And as he pointed out in a press release last weekend. But why did this happen? Well, the legislators had him over a barrel on that, and instead of really negotiating the budget and how to spend the money they were going to get from Mr. Biden and Mr. Schumer, who was taking full responsibility for getting it through the Senate, and instead of that, they are not considering what happens next year when that's gone. It's not going to be there next year. So if you expand the state budget to the amount of money you are getting from the Biden administration to make New York State whole, you're going to have a huge cut next year. What they are doing and betting on is that everything will be back to normal. The marijuana will do something for you next year from a revenue standpoint. And the gambling will do something for you next year with a standpoint. They are the biggest gamblers in the world, the state legislators.
Right. And they can be. They are in that position. It's not their money.
They can't cover. They make bets that they can't cover. And as we all know, that's how you get in real trouble with your bookie.
Who's, right.
And the bookies are out of business now in New York State. They're out.
They're out. Yeah.
They're out. You can gamble online. You can go to the casino, gamble on sports online. I mean, I don't know, but that I haven't seen any interviews with bookies as to how they feel about
I know. Maybe
legalized gambling and all that.
Down. Then again, maybe not.
So. But, you know, the marijuana thing really concerns me. Number one, we had the Association of Builders and Contractors, New York State chapter. It's a national organization, the Empire State chapter. And they really complained bitterly that they have to do something about the scaffold law.
And you have covered this with White Plains Citizen Net reporter.
I did. I got an interview.
On top of this story.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
about the ancillary effects of marijuana and the scaffolding law.
Yes, in fact, the statement by the Builders Organization was not too explicit in what the heck the scaffold law was. Now, what it is it is a law that says that a contractor that has an accident is liable for any injuries or loss of life or whatever. Now, the question here is, as the interview, the man I interviewed, Santino Thomas, who is a spokesman for the Association of Builders, said, he said that what happens is, what if a contractor employs somebody who smokes marijuana while on the job or before going to the job or does something with marijuana and makes a mistake, an accident, and causes a death, contractor's liable.
Right.
Now, the problem is, you usually aren't good. The problem is that part of this legislation says that you can't ask the question, have you had prior drug use on an application? And nowadays, the independent, the contractors were not unionized in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the contractors in New York State are not union. Now that's a huge percentage. And if they cannot ask a worker about that they're to hire for a job, whether he has had a drug history or even do records check on him,
right?
That's a problem for them.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with that because you can't control what your workers do away from the job. Now, if they're smoking pot on the job and something happens, that's a different story. You do have to find a way to control and regulate that. But before and after work, none of our employers can control what we do, or in my mind at least, should be held liable for any mistakes we make while working for them because of that. That's not their fault.
Yeah. Well, the builders are up in arms about this, and they talked about this extensively with all the legislators and the governor, and they were ignored. So now they want the legislature to fix the law somehow, to make it a little bit more safer to employ workers who are not union, particularly for those who are not a union contractor, but it's a big, big problem. All you need is one horrendous accident, and that opens up a whole
Pandora's box.
Put a contractor out of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe next time around, when they get back to Albany to negotiate a new budget, they change the law around after one horrible accident. That could be.
Well, that's generally when they do it.
usually when they do it.
Yes, like they wait till somebody gets killed or a lot of people get killed.
Right, like the jail reform law in New York City, the way things have worked, and the bail reform around New York State. They worked it out one way, it didn't work out the way they hoped it would work out, and they go back and try to fix it again. But that happens with, I think, with many laws. That's something that happens and something.
Well, there are some things that they do need to fix on that bail operation, you know. What can I say? I mean, nobody is nominating me for the legislature, so there's nothing I can do.
We've seen shootings now in Georgia, in Colorado, an attack today on a couple of police officers in our nation's capital with a knife, a vehicle, and a knife. In this state of New York, do we need specifically more, and we have tough anti-gun laws to begin with, tougher anti-gun laws and more hate crime legislation on the books, especially in light of all the attacks on Asian Americans, not only in our area, but around this country?
Well, the law is supposedly blind in the way it applies justice, all right? So, therefore, why should an act of violence towards any race not be fully prosecuted? Why is attacks on certain people because of the color of their skin considered more awful than attacks on people? I mean, you know, I'm being devil's advocate here. But I mean, I will say this, that if, a person of a, what shall we say, a favored population attacks somebody white, like a white cop, the book gets thrown at him. So the other way, someone who is white who attacks a black person and kills him or whatever, or they should have the book thrown at them.
Mm-hmm.
No manslaughter charge
all the way around.
Yeah, right.
That's what it should be all the way around.
My father always told me, stay out of court. Yeah. My father always, and settle it if you have to, because when you go to court, you never know how it's going to come out.
Right.
You can't depend. That's right. You are rolling the dice.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how it's
going to react. Bargain for a lower charge if you can.
You don't know how that jury is going to react. And you could be the most righteous and most right person in the world with your case, but you get the wrong jury and you're going to go down.
Well, the jury is always sorted out. Look at the O.J. Simpson jury. Good example of what happens. You know, I mean, smart lawyers can really work out a jury that can, particularly when it's a 12-0.
He could pay for them where most people cannot. Speaking of lawyers and legal predicaments, we've alluded to this a couple of times already without going into it in depth. Governor Andrew Cuomo embattled now for more than a month with four different investigations, different types of investigations into him. The COVID nursing home scandal, the alleged misconduct by him against a number of women, the Tappan Zee Bridge, the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, where there are structural damages when it first opened a few years back that were covered up. And now, did the governor misappropriate state resources to benefit his family and friends in the early days of the COVID pandemic? We have a federal investigation about the nursing homes, locally about the misconduct and other issues going on with the state attorney general, Letitia James. The state assembly under Speaker Carl Hastie has launched an impeachment inquiry into the governor. Did any of this affect his ability to be able to represent the executive branch the way he should be able to in these budget talks the past couple of months?
Well, he is a really tough guy. He's very concentrated, and it takes a tough guy to weather something. I mean, I think that there's no person in Albany, in that state house there in Albany, who would have the ability to focus 24/7 like Governor Cuomo did and work out a plan, do things that were extremely unpopular to try and stop the spread of it when he did. He did a fantastic job. He will be remembered for hundreds of years as a man who stopped this epidemic. But indeed, it could be starting up again. It is in Westchester County. I mean, the county executive did say this week and agreed that it was going up. It was going up. The word was it was flattening last week, but it didn't flatten this past week. I mean, last week we had the last 3 days, I have 490 new infections in Westchester, 584 and 418. Those kind of numbers kill you. It means that it's going to be more spreading as people spread out. And Westchester is literally putting themselves at risk by this loosey-goosey attitude.
From your conversations with medical people, do we know how long these vaccines work? A month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 8 years, 15 years, forever and ever, amen? Or
they don't know that.
Yeah.
They don't know that because people have been getting recurring illnesses from it. Witness Mara Gay, who talked about it in that Zoom meeting. And that really concerned me. She was like 30. She was 33 years old and pretty darn healthy. And all of a sudden came down with it and her system couldn't fight it off. But of course, you know, not everybody is the same, but this is the problem of the disease. It has a tendency apparently to linger, and we don't know how long that vaccine is going to last. I tell you, if they offered booster shots at the end of the year, I'd take them.
Mm-hmm. So and we still should. Have to mask up, no doubt about that, and follow the medical experts until we find out more. It's great we're all getting vaccinated. And as we go on, hopefully we'll find out more about how effective these vaccines really are.
You know, I stop at red lights. I look ways at crosswalks. If they say you should, maybe we'll give you vaccines, I'll get one. And I would get one if I was 40.
More protection, the better. I agree with you.
You can't be too careful. Polio, that was a great shot. They gave it to you once, and it lasted a long time.
Chicken pox when we were kids, too. Same thing. Measles, mumps. Yeah. Lifetime, supposedly. But here now, we don't know. John Bailey is the executive editor and publisher and key lead reporter for White Plains Citizen Net Reporter, White Plains Citizen Net Reporter.com. John, the city of Mount Vernon, according now to a judge, must pay their bills. The comptroller's office must break out the checkbook and start paying the city's debt down. Any surprise about this decision?
It has been, why hasn't the comptroller of New York State stepped in and gone after this type of situation? He hasn't. He issues two press releases a year, basically.
Okay, this leads to another question, Alan. We talked about this earlier. You brought this up about Biden bucks. Not every community is financially gifted, financially able to pay every bill that comes along on time. Mount Vernon happens to be in that category. With all the stimulus coming our way now, supposedly we don't need to raise taxes, although we probably will. Will localities like Mount Vernon be helped out greatly by the Biden bucks, by the stimulus money, or is this something that just might not be taken care of right away?
If they are financially and fiduciarily responsible, it should help them a lot. But if they use the money to and budget it into next year's budget, that's different. In fact, that's what has what'll be interesting. White Plains is down $9 million in sales tax as of this moment. However, we're going to get $21 million, Chuck Schumer said yesterday, for use any way we want to do it. And and no strings money is what he said yesterday.
No strings attached.
No strings attached, which is different from the original COVID aid, remember?
That had to be used
for COVID-related stuff.
So does this set up a situation where no strings attached, unregulated means the controls on top of where that money goes may not be what they should be? Or if you question somebody who appropriates a certain amount of cash for something and you say, well, I don't think you should have done that, that person who appropriated the money can come back and say, well, my decision, I thought we should. Mm-hmm. My word against your word. He said, she said, he said, he said.
Well, and the money that goes to the school districts, Schumer said, was going to go right to the school districts and not spread out to the government. But in Yonkers, the school district is run by the government. The Yonkers school district misplaces money left and right, and the city can't find where it went. Now, if you give the money to a city like Yonkers that has shown itself to fiduciarily sloppy at best, I think that has to be looked at. But if it's no strings attached, they have to fix the schools in Yonkers, number one.
That's been a problem for decades now in that city.
Yes, absolutely. And this is their chance to do it if they have financially responsible people. They really need a new school commissioner down there. He doesn't seem to have really been able to sort out the mess.
They need stability, I think, in that superintendent's office in Yonkers, which has not been something that has been a gift to that office in Yonkers, something that office has had for decades also, too, going back to the 90s.
Well, they need someone that can inspire the populace that they're doing a great job. That's what we were fortunate, and Elmser was fortunate to get in Dr. Joseph Rucka, who is our superintendent of schools, who got the White Plains schools through this epidemic and talked everybody into doing what they had to do, because he worked as hard as anyone I've ever seen to do that. And he inspired confidence. He was a good coach. He mm-hmm. didn't say, well, you have to do this. He just said, we need you to do this. Otherwise, for everybody. No.
Right.
He instilled team spirit, and the district is open 5 days a week now. More classes coming back next week and the week after that. And this was a great achievement.
Should the city of Yonkers City Council, the Yonkers City Council, set up a special council or a special commission to take this money and make sure it gets distributed the right way educationally?
It will be interesting how they distribute it, John. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's an enormous amount of money. It is a chance for the city to finally get out of the consistent debt that they always seem to have every year. And, it's the cities aren't like that bank that lost $6 billion and couldn't find it. I forget mm-hmm. the name of that bank. But
yeah.
Their CEO is really one of the top names in banking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I forget too.
But I mean, this is what they got to be careful of. They have to really throw the money where it's needed, improving the schools, improving the learning
process
online.
Yeah, and that goes for other localities around the area as well, too. Or as they say, John, talking about which bank it might have been that lost that money. Money comes, money goes, right?
Money comes. It's fungible.
But it doesn't grow on trees, although in Albany sometimes, right now with this budget, it looks like that maybe we're wrong about that, and maybe it does.
Yeah, but seriously, they are going to raise the budget. I think the Assembly and the Senate wanted to raise it up to, like, was it $380 billion or something like that?
In that range.
Yes, right.
Different numbers floating
now.
Yeah.
If they
in the end
devote all that money.
One number, the state Senate has another number. In the midst of all these numbers, all this money, the Biden bucks, the budget in Albany, all the money coming down to localities supposedly now. Does any of this include help for renters and homeowners who may not be able to foot the bill still?
Rentals and money to help people who are having trouble paying their mortgage or been threatened with being turned out of their rentals. There's money in there for that. And the tax credit for children is a tremendous boon. This is what Chuck Schumer was saying yesterday, that he said it would really the best thing that's done to relieve poverty, but we have seen and heard this before. Remember the war on poverty?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Still going on.
We lost that one.
It's going to go on forever.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, until the end of time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with all this cash coming our way, supposedly, will Amtrak, as they say, be able to increase their service throughout the Northeast? Or do we really need, maybe I should put it this way, do we really need more trains buzzing through our backyards in Westchester?
Do we need congestion pricing, which the government in Washington approved?
It's going to happen now, maybe early 2023 for the lower portion of New York City, as it was supposed to, I guess, already be in effect or kick off in 2022. You know, a few years back, I almost bought a house off Route 35 in New Jersey in Middlesex County, where I would have had a New Jersey Transit train buzzing through basically right behind the fence in my would-be backyard every few minutes. Looked cool when I looked it over, and then I thought about the possible effects of that, and I said no thank you on a house that I liked specifically due to that. Are we getting into this situation here more and more in Westchester if Amtrak does expand?
Well, apparently they have enough. They're giving enough money to Metro what is the big commuter in the area? The MTA.
Yeah. MTA. Yeah.
Right. They're giving enough money to them to give their long term pay for their long term improvements. The question is, do we need those improvements if the ridership is going to stay down like it's Isn't it still about a third?
30 to 40%.
Yeah, 30 to 40%. Now, why is that? Because people are working at home.
Right.
People are, and those who aren't are driving in. Mm-hmm. But most are working at home, and the Times has written an extensive article this week on just this fact that corporations are really re-examining whether they're going to bring people over back to work or not. You know,
and that's going to take some time.
Office.
We hear about Wall Streeters who need people in because of the certain algorithms as to how their equipment, their specialized computer systems run, and they need people on site to be able to do that. But if you can't do that, you're probably going to stay at home because this will help reduce the real estate footprint of all these companies and reduce their real estate bills. And I think companies are looking, at that now saying, you know, if I didn't have this office space, we don't have to pay for this. Everybody stay at home and we'll make a lot more money. And by the way, our main concern, our main responsibility is right to our shareholders.
And our bottom line, which is the most precious thing in American business.
In business.
Bottom line.
No
and
doubt.
And I mean, that's what, look at the aid the airlines got. Look at the aid that corporations got with the condition that they were able to keep their employees, but they didn't keep them. They they chopped them and nobody came after them for that.
Right.
Nobody. They let them get away with that. And then they turned out some excellent first quarter numbers.
Or as they say, John, business as usual.
Yes, business as usual. And number one, I would bet that the drug companies that manufactured these vaccines and have gotten paid billions for it by governments, including our own, and they got it done in an amazing time. However, they want to make a lot more money with that vaccine. And so they will tell you you need boosters. And it won't
Let's
be
see
free.
What happens.
And it won't be free that time.
You could also have a situation where the drug makers intentionally, and I don't want to cast any kind of negative light on what they're doing, but maybe just kind of set the vaccines up so that they kind of run out their effectiveness after a year, after 2 years. So you have to go back and get more, like a flu shot every year. And I look at this as saying the flu shot, the effectiveness is 50 to 52, 53, 55% every year, pretty much. But now our new COVID vaccines are 90 to 95% effective. So if we can do that with a COVID vaccine, just kind of off the bat in a year, how come we can't get the flu vaccine to be much more effective than it supposedly is? And this has been around since pretty much now the beginning of time. Just kind of makes you wonder. Or we've been working, as one medical person I know said to me, he said, John, we've been working on an AIDS vaccine for about 40 years. We don't have it yet. What makes you think we'll have a really effective COVID vaccine in 1 year? I have to go with hope on that. And for all of us, that we are protected as best as possible, but it does make you wonder about the perspective of the companies that develop these kinds of tools to fight infection and to fight disease.
Well, you know, I have a theory on that. There is no money in finding a cure for cancer because the medical profession makes so much money treating it. That was a subject of the Robin Cook novel, Coma, which nobody liked because it painted a very eerie picture. Cancer has been around for almost 100 years that we know of it with modern science. And now they're doing a much better job of treating it. And on the matter of the COVID vaccine, there are a lot of variants, and that is why the flu is different every year. They have to do a new vaccine because the flu goes back to R&D and changes its virus. I think you're definitely going to have to. Your COVID is not going to go away. It's very strong. It's all over the world.
We have to manage as best as possible, no doubt.
Right. It's not going away. And in fact, now that you're cleared to travel and you have double vaccine, today I think they said, oh, you can now travel. Okay, fine. Well, I don't know where you would want to travel with the way the disease is in Europe with all the variants, particularly in England.
I know people who want to travel, and you try to tell them it's not a good idea, and they seem like, well, I've been bottled up for over a year now, got to go somewhere. And we see stories of people who have thought like that, went somewhere and got COVID, and I'm sure they, you know, obviously later on after getting sick, realized they should never have made those travel plans to begin with. But the airlines, of course, want to come back. The hospitality industry is pretty much dead in most areas, and step by step, they're trying to come back. I understand it from that standpoint, but I think we have to look at it overall from the general health standpoint, and let's take care of each other. Let's kind of leave it at that. Now, John, before we go, here we are in April, it's springtime, and I got to ask you, will we have Rye Playland to jump and fun around in this summer?
Well, the last word from George Latimer, the county executive, was it would open at the end of June, somewhat socially distanced. But by that time, that may be completely relaxed now that we have the Assembly and the Senate of New York State responsible for making emergency decisions, and Governor Cuomo is being kept out of that loop. And I think that is dangerous because you can't have a committee of 10 make a big decision because they can't agree and they don't want to be blamed for a bad decision. So they relax everything. That's my predictor.
I think golf courses, Rye Playland, Valhalla, over by the lake, everything there right now open at least to some extent this summer.
But the governor went along with that he would end his emergency powers over the year. But I think it is a mistake for the Assembly and the Senate out of pique because of his other troubles to take that away, because you need somebody who's very familiar. And right now, they have gone on record as not trusting his numbers and all that. And that's the first thing you do is accuse somebody of hiding something. And quite frankly, this all happened because the secretary, the governor, answered a question honestly to, let's see, who was the guy whose father or uncle died that got all upset?
Ron Kim in Queens.
That's right. So anyway, he divulged that.
Now you're talking about the governor's aide, Melissa DeRosa,
yes,
and the conference with a number of Democrats.
First rule of politics.
Of Queens.
First rule of politics, never be honest. First rule, because it'll come back to haunt you. If you trust somebody and tell them something, they will use it against you when it comes time to undercut you in their own interest. And that's what happened there. I mean, the people were already dead. The idea that Trump might not give the state the facilities it needed was a big, big worry. And she explained that was why. And that wasn't good enough. But they made a dubious decision, okay? Let's say it was dubious. But what if Trump had used that against him? Because remember, Cuomo was seen as a huge rival to Trump at the time. He was making Trump look bad every night of the week on television. But anyway, that's the past. And I am sure everybody regrets that. But quite frankly, the New York Times did finally do a expose on nursing homes about how they just weren't really handling things right anyway. And that appeared about 2 weeks ago. And I thought that was about time, because nobody in the legislators asked that question. They didn't bring in the nursing homes to say, well, how could this happen? How did these people all get infected? No committee investigation there. Mm-hmm. But yet, though, but oh, by the way, the governor is sort of now getting in trouble for trying to create an advantageous book deal. You know, that was an expose this week.
Right. There was talk about that being investigated, too, as well.
Yeah. The hits just keep on coming on the governor.
And a lot more still to come as we wait for the results of these investigations down the road. Could be another month, could be another 3, 4, 5 months. We shall see. John Bailey. We'll talk again real soon. John Bailey, the publisher and editor, White Plains Citizen Net reporter, whiteplainscitizennetreporter.com. Thank you, John, as always.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you for having me, as they say on the big networks.
And happy Easter to you and yours. Exactly. Thanks, John. All right, catch all of our Westchester, Fairfield County, and Lower Hudson Valley Shark Creative Network programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube. I'm John Marino. This is Westchester Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities through April of 2021, Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. Again, catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Fairfield, and Orange County talk radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.